you ever heard of digital currencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and buzzwords like blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and mining? Don't know what it all means or how to get started? Well, at Let's Talk Crypto, we break it all down and eat.
All right, welcome back, listener. We're going with a little bit of a different format here coming up to Christmas. This is a very special series we're going to call the 12 Coins of Christmas.
For the 12 Coins of Christmas, Barry said to me, which coins to buy?
Welcome back to our second episode of our six-part series on the 12 Coins of Christmas. This is your ever vocal host, Tom, joined by my co-host, Barry. How are you going, brother?
Ho, ho, ho.
All right, Barry. So since yesterday, we went through a couple of coins on the list, which were Dash and Ripple. Now, since yesterday, the market cap of crypto has gone up another $30 billion. So these altcoins at the moment are just absolutely going to the moon, as we say in the crypto world. So it's really good to see all this new money coming in, but it's also good to see lots of gains on these altcoins. So today we'll be covering another two off the list, which will be NEO and EOS. So I just want to say one thing before we get started today, and before we go any further, is that the coins we're going through are in no particular order. So these aren't our preference or the preference we're saying that you should consider these. They're just basically a list that we're working off that meet the criteria to be potentially listed on GDAX and other exchanges moving forward. And just consider that before making any decision and doing your research that they're in no particular order. They're just coins that we're applying our altcoin evaluation worksheet on so we can consider investing in these moving forward.
And as always, we're not financial advisors. This isn't financial advice. It's just two guys talking crypto. So do your own homework.
All right. So what I'll do, Barry, I might kick it off today and talk about NEO.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about NEO, but I haven't had a chance to dig into it myself. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Oh, very good. All right. So I'll start with a few facts and figures, probably the best place to start. So at the time of recording, the market cap is $5.2 billion. So it's very much up on the list. It's currently sitting in position 15 of the entire coin market cap. So it's in the top 20 coin. It's been there for quite a while. Now, NEO itself started in 2014. And a lot of people don't realize it used to be called DAC or DAC, which stood for Decentralized Autonomous Company. Then they renamed it to a company called AntShares, which is probably where they had a little bit more of a claim to fame and people started to find out about them. But then earlier this year, they renamed themselves to NEO. And at that time, they started implementing smart contract technology. And this is where they really started to skyrocket. Now, at that time, this was Ethereum's little claim to fame about smart contracts. So NEO was essentially classified as the Ethereum of China, the Ethereum killer. So many different rumors were spread about the company. So what I'll start off with is a little comparison between Ethereum and NEO and help distinguish the difference between the two coins. So Ethereum is built on a programming language called Solidity. So it's a custom programming language that if you want to develop on that network or on that platform, you have to learn that programming language. So the barrier to entry for that is a little bit high. Whereas NEO supports Microsoft's .NET framework, and they use little virtual machines called NEO VMs for the developers. That means they literally use anything off the .NET, so things like Java, C, C++. So the ability to develop on that framework is a lot easier, a lot lower barrier to entry because they're using programming languages that already exist that millions of developers already have experience with. The next thing is the speed of transactions. Now, Ethereum can handle 15 transactions per second, whereas right now, NEO can handle 1,000. Transactions per second, and the development pipeline, they're working towards 10,000 transactions per second. So we can really see that even though they share the technology that it's a platform style coin, NEO offers a better solution because it's faster. All right, a few more facts and figures. So coin supply, the total coin supply for NEO is 100 million, but there's only 50 million in circulation as of last month. The other 50 million are slowly being released now. It's up to 65 at the time of recording. The rest will be released over the next 5 years to a total of 100 million coins in circulation, which is really cool. All right, so I want to move into the team that actually put this business together. So the founders are a gentleman called Da Hong Fei and Eric Zhang. Apologize if I didn't pronounce those names correctly. Now, the claim to fame for NEO was it was China's first cryptocurrency. So what these guys did was put a great team together which had a whole mixture of developers, marketing, they had testing engineers, they had operations teams. So when you looked at the team, they looked very solid from day one because the founders already had great experience in crypto. They've been around in it since the post 2010, 2011 era where all this sort of started taking off. And one thing I've noticed is the CEO and the founder are very, very prominent on Twitter and on Neo's Twitter page as well. They're constantly putting out brand new content and press releases and information. So that's really awesome to see that they're interactive with us as the community. Now, another little point that a lot of people may not know about Neo is that Neo is similar to shares like in a company. You actually earn what they call gas for dividends. Now, gas is the component that when you do a transaction with Neo, you use gas to fund it. It's like the fee that goes along with it. So by holding Neo as a coin, you earn gas, which is really cool. So it's essentially you buy Neo like shares in a company and the gas are like the dividends that are paid to you by holding that coin. Now, gas itself is another token or a coin that you can buy. Currently, market cap of $366 million and is trading at $42 US per coin. So it also has an intrinsic value as well. Now, if you go to Neo's official website, which is neo.org, you can download the Neon wallet. Now, the Neon wallet is essentially where you put your coins. Just by having the coins in the wallet, you will earn gas. Now, the really cool thing about this is it's a software wallet that you install on your Windows computer. The wallet does not have to be turned on, or the computer does not have to be turned on and running to earn and claim those gas rewards. So all you do every now and then, boot the wallet up and claim your gas, and the gas comes straight into your wallet, which is really cool. So you're getting dividends paid out for free, which is awesome. Now, also, the Neon wallet is what we call a light client wallet, so it doesn't need to download the entire blockchain. So it's very quick, very simple, very easy, and it doesn't take up too much space on your computer, which is great. Now, a couple of other things that are really cool about Neo is that its governance model is similar to that of Dash. So they have stakeholders that have a huge amount of coins. These guys become like shareholders. They are the decision makers for big things on the development platform, where they want to take it. And essentially, it goes to a vote. Everyone has equal right votes, and they also then earn and get paid with gas rewards and Neo coins for being a stake node. Another really cool feature, now Barry, I think you'll like this one, is that their protocol that they use supports cross-chain transactions. What that means is when you're implementing a smart contract, you can actually go from Bitcoin to Ethereum or from Ethereum to another coin, but it's all done on the one platform. And I don't know of any other coin that offers that facility. And this is one thing that's pretty unique to Neo. So again, a big point of difference between them and Ethereum, whereas you have to use their own currency for their own platform. And also the encryption that is currently being used on Neo in the back end cannot be hacked by the current quantum computers. So high level security, high level encryption. And it's a peer-to-peer digital asset exchange. Exchange services, we can exchange goods using their smart contract technology and also use their cross-chain transactions, which again, we can go from one blockchain to another blockchain all off the one platform. I think that's pretty awesome. Another thing that's coming up for Neo is in January of 2018. At this stage, they haven't set the date, but it's toward the end of the month. They have NeoCon, which is a huge event that they are putting on. Well, they will be inviting the developers to meet the teams to talk about new and upcoming things. So it's also a good sign that these guys are getting out in the community. They're putting on these events. They want people to attend these things so you can interact, meet the founders, meet the developers, meet the team, and show that they're actually real-life people. Again, for me, in this crypto world where these things are opening up and starting up sometimes in the same week, it's really good to see that they're moving forward. And, you know, they've been around for a few years now. So, again, it adds to the street credibility that, you know, if you want to invest in this coin, they're ticking a lot of the boxes.
Yeah, they certainly been on a tear lately, and there's lots and lots of people talking about them. So, very interesting stuff to hear.
So as I went through in episode 6, Neo came in as a builder's category of coin. So this is a platform where people can develop on. And at the time of recording, there's 23 apps that have already been developed on that platform, and that's growing every day. And I think the big thing pushing that forward is that it is built on the Microsoft.NET framework, which means normal programming languages for normal developers can step straight in and not have to learn a whole brand new language like what's on Ethereum. So for me, that's attractive. I think builder's platform is something to watch out for moving forward, and I really see that Neo is going to be here for a while to stay. Okay, so with Neo, the fact that it's in the builder's framework, it's the first coin out of China. It's got great market cap. It's got great circulation. It's got great positive news coming. They've got big events coming up. From what I can see on the outside, their team looks fantastic and it's growing all the time. They've got two core developers and a handful of other developers that sit underneath them. So for me, I like it. I think it's got some legs. The fact that they've got the cross-blockchain technology, not many people can offer that. So again, Just my opinion, my view from my research. Please do your own. If you want to think about investing into NEO, then yeah, it's up to you guys. Now, just consider that when I started talking at the beginning of this episode, the market cap has gone up over $30 billion overnight. On the next point is these altcoins that we're talking about are at all-time highs. So right now might not be the best time to hop into the market. So doing your market research and have a look that we can't have double-digit growths every day and not expect some sort of a pullback. So just consider that, that if you think that NEO is great and it's good, a long-term investment, it probably doesn't matter if you did want to buy when you buy in. But I just wanted to put that out there. Just have a think about it. Look at the coins. Look at where they've come from. Look at what they are. But the last 6-7 weeks, it's gone crazy. I had a look before we started recording today, and the market cap was just under $200 billion on the 1st of November. And now we're 3 weeks into December, and we're at $635-odd billion. So we've had huge growth. A lot of it's gone into the altcoin market. So put that into your consideration before jumping into some of these coins.
Yeah, great advice, Tom. I'm glad you broke down NEO for us. I've been meaning to investigate that one for quite some time. Okay, the coin I'm going to review today on this episode is EOS, EOS. Again, it's another one of these ones that's being touted as the next Ethereum killer. There seems to be Ethereum killers popping up all over the crypto landscape at the moment. But this one's got some really weird and unique characteristics about it that we'll talk about as we go through it. But I want to read the description straight from the EOS website, which is eos.io, not because it'll help you understand what it does, but because it's a really cool description, right? It says, eos.io is software that introduces a blockchain architecture designed to enable vertical and horizontal scaling of decentralized applications. This is achieved through an operating system-like construct upon which applications can be built. The software provides accounts, authentication, databases, asynchronous communication, and the scheduling of applications across multiple CPU cores and/or clusters. The resulting technology is a blockchain architecture that has the potential to scale to millions of transactions per second, eliminates user fees, and allows for quick and easy development of decentralized applications. Now, that's a pretty big claim, that one. But to boil that down a little bit, basically what they're saying is EOS is going to be a decentralized operating system. Like Ethereum was designed to build decentralized applications. If you want to take this to the next layer of abstraction, they're building a decentralized operating system. So if you think of an operating system as made up of, CPU processing and memory and storage and all these other things, those can be decentralized across multiple computers across the entire internet. So basically, it's a platform for building large-scale, scalable, decentralized applications. So the real interesting thing about this one is one of the members of the team, one of the founders of EOS, by the name of Dan Larimer. And he has been one of the original gangsters kind of in the crypto space for a long time. And he was a co-founder behind Steemit, which you may have heard of before, and also in BitShares as well. So he's got a long track record of building pretty successful stuff. And I think one of the reasons for EOS and why he went to build that was because when he went to build Steem and when he went to build BitShares, he couldn't build it on top of Ethereum because Ethereum, as Tom said, just doesn't scale, 15 transactions a second max. And as we saw in last week at the time of recording, a simple application like CryptoKitties basically just crippled the Ethereum network. I heard Dan talking on a podcast saying that, when he was building Steem and when he was building BitShares, there was really kind of nothing that he could build it on top of that would take it to the scale that he wanted to do it. So he basically has gone out and now he's built an infrastructure that you can build apps on top of that will scale vertically and horizontally and still being able to process tens of thousands, if not millions of transactions a second. So it's pretty interesting what's being built here. The thing I find about Dan and his project is it takes me about 3 or 4 times of reading through all this stuff to actually even understand it. I'm still working on how BitShares all works, but super smart guy with a really established track record in crypto behind this one. So some of the things that are unique about EOS at the moment is it's still in its ICO phase. So there is no functioning product at the moment. So you can go and buy in the ICO phase, but unlike traditional ICOs that go for maybe a month or a couple of weeks, and then that's it and all the coins are done, EOS is having an ICO that goes for an entire year. And the reason behind that is they want to build this out before putting any kind of production stuff on it. So as of now, as of recording, there is no production version of EOS at the moment. So since it's going to be such high performance and high scalability, they wanted to get that sorted out before people started using it. So, you know, trying to build that on the run would be kind of like trying to fix a car while you're driving it. So they needed money to fund this whole project. So hence the ICO thing. And the ICO thing, as I said, it goes for a year, which is a little bit different. So every day they release a certain amount of coins. Off the top of my head, I think it's like 2 million coins a day. So you can go on that day, you know, once those 2 million are gone, the ICO is done for that day and the clock resets and it starts the next day. So you can go buy ICO coins, but it's also trading on a number of exchanges as well. So since the ICO has been running for a number of months now, some of those coins have made their way to the exchange. So it also trades on the exchange as well. So you can get it either as an ICO or you can get it on some of the major exchanges, and you can find those on CoinMarketCap. So even though it's only in a test environment, it's still got a market cap of, at the time of recording, just shy of $6 billion, which puts it on number 11 on the top 100 spot for cryptos. So super popular for having nothing in production yet. Really interesting that it's as popular as it is based on just the promise, essentially, at the moment. So what do they have in place? They've got a whole roadmap that you can get to from their website, obviously. So one of the first phase of their roadmap was to have a minimum viable testing environment available by the summer of 2017. And they've done that. So that was delivered a little bit early. So everybody was pretty happy about that. And then the next bit was a minimum viable test network by the fall of 2017. So they've hit that one as well. So they've just released EOS IO Dawn 2.0, which is a development environment for developers who want to get used to building on the Ethereum architecture. And very similar to what Tom was talking about, instead of having a native kind of scripting language like Solidity or programming language like Solidity, you can use multiple different programming languages on top of EOS. So if you're a C developer or Java or whatever, you should be able to take those skills straight across and build on top of EOS as well. So the coin's super interesting. As I said, it's still an ICO phase. If you want to get some that way, you just go to the EOS website. And there's a whole step-by-step procedure there on how to do that. Or if you want to just grab it off an exchange, you can do that as well. The team, you know, being led by Dan Larimer and this pretty big team there, all established guys in crypto. So couldn't really get a more credible team than the one working on this. The market, so what's the addressable market for this coin? Well, it's, again, this is not a currency coin that you're going to go and buy groceries with. This is a coin and a network that other applications are going to be built upon. And then listening, there's nothing on the website about any applications that are ready to go, but I've heard on various kind of podcasts and crosstalk, and they're quite active on Steam as well. There are a number of applications in the wings. So when this launches, there'll already be potentially thousands of applications ready to go at the date of launch as well, which is pretty exciting. So I guess with this one, what you're really buying is the reputation of the team and the promise of what's coming in the future. So pretty hard to justify the $10, $11 price at the moment, based on the fact that there's nothing in production. But if it's a train you think you want to get on, do some research, watch some of the videos. There's plenty of information over at eos.io. You can read through their articles. As I said, there's tons of articles over on Steam as well. Looks like a super interesting project. So if you can pick it up cheap, if there's a pullback, you might want to think about doing that. But I think there's a bright promise ahead for EOS. The downside, I guess, would be two things. One is there seems to be a lot of these Ethereum killers popping up everywhere, promising to be the next, you know, Ethereum killer. So I'm not sure if all those Ethereum killers are going to survive in the same kind of environment. So some may win out and some may lose out. And some of the other criticism of EOS has been the fact that they look a bit dodgy if you read through their terms and conditions. One, they're incorporated in the Cayman Islands, you know, which is a typical kind of dodgy tax haven environment. But given the draconian kind of regulations coming out of the SEC and some of the other governments in China and trying to regulate ICOs and trying to regulate cryptocurrencies, I can understand why you'd want to set up in a crypto-friendly environment like the Caymans. And then the other thing in the terms and services is basically you're promised nothing by owning these EOS tokens. It says right in the terms and conditions, these promise you nothing. It doesn't give you rights to the company. It doesn't give you rights to anything. So if you read through the terms, it looks like, well, I'm just buying nothing. I'm just buying smoke and mirrors. And essentially, that's kind of what you are buying. You're just basically buying the promise that someday they'll come good in the tokens. Now, I heard Dan talking about this on another podcast, and he was saying they did that to just get around the SEC regulations and stuff like that. So they don't want to make any promises as part of this ICO. That way they can't have regulators come and saying, oh, you're promising this stuff, you can't deliver, because they're not promising anything. So really interesting terms and conditions there. So those are a couple of the criticisms I've heard about it, but I think the future is pretty bright for this one, and I'm going to keep a close eye on it.
Yeah, well, Barry, having said all that, I mean, the coin in the last week has gone up 3x, like 300%. So even though it's got all that stuff that we're talking about, I think this is another telltale sign that all this new money that's coming into this crypto world are looking at these coins and going, well, this is only, back then, you know, a week ago it was $3 or $4, and now it's well over 10. It's like, well, that's $3. I'll just go buy X amount dollars worth, and that's putting all this new money in, and it's increasing the value of the coin. So I think a lot of people do go in a little bit blind. I'm very, very guilty of that, because I'll listen to a podcast, I'll see something on YouTube, or I'll read something on Bitcoin Talk or whatever it might be, and I'm going, well, that sounds like a good idea, and maybe not follow through the research, which is probably why the altcoin evaluation worksheet's a really good place to, you know, to give some framework and some validity around, you know, the data that we read. So, you know, if you take one step back and go, okay, it's in the Cayman Islands, the website reads very technical. So for the most of us, including myself, might not be able to even understand what they're saying. And then, like you said, you're basically buying a product that doesn't even exist, but you're putting the faith in the team, and the team sounds really, really good. So it's all back in that mixing bowl of decision-making processes. Do I buy in, considering that it's just tripled in the last week? So all these things, all food for thought, and I guess it's up to the listeners to make their own decisions from that, mate.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the, you know, like you said, all these altcoins are exploding in the last couple of days, and I think a lot of that might have to be with all the new people coming into the market. You know, they look at Bitcoin and it's up at close to $19,000 US per Bitcoin, and they're thinking, oh, I've missed that boat. So what's going to be the next thing that goes from rags to riches, from a dollar to $1,000, you know, and they're looking for all the alts, you know, and a few days ago, you know, EOS was trading at kind of $1 or $2 range, $3 or $4 range, and you know, now it's up at $11. So I think people are looking, you know, they're betting on every horse in the race, so to speak, hoping that they get the one that's going to triple, quadruple, 10x in the next month, because, you know, they think they've missed the boat on Bitcoin. I don't think you've missed the boat on Bitcoin. If you look at the parabolic growth it's had, it's certainly still got a lot of room to run, in my opinion, but again, that's only in my opinion. So this is a weird fallacy that most people seem to have, is that, you know, oh, I don't want to put my money into that because it's expensive. It's $19,000, you know, and everyone knows you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You can buy fractions of a Bitcoin. So they don't want to put $1,000 into Bitcoin. They'd rather put $1,000 into something that's a dollar, hoping it goes up 100%. Well, if your Bitcoin investment goes up 100%, it's the same as your altcoin investment going up 100%. It's 100% return. So the price you pay for it is kind of irrelevant. It's the percentage of return you're looking for.
Yeah, I think for the most part, Barry, we've all suffered from that style of you know, just buy into the market, or the coin looks cheaper. And when you actually think about it, it's a percentage game. If a coin goes up 30%, it doesn't matter whether the coin's valued at $20,000 or $100, it's still a 30% gain. So from now on, moving forward, and we've spoken about this off the air, that, you know, if we start looking at the percentage style rather than the value of the coin, because now, like, you know, I sit there and talk to people, so how many coins you got? Or how many Bitcoins you got, or how much Ethereum have you got? Like, it's not a measure of coins. It's like, I bought or made an investment of this much dollars worth, and now that is worth X percent more. And I think that's where the true measure should come from. All right, mate. Well, look, I think that's probably enough data on the two coins, of being NEO and EOS. Now, we're obviously going to be back tomorrow again with the next two coins, a part of the 12 Coins of Christmas series special. Geez, say that five times fast. Okay, Barry, so before I wrap up, is there anything else you want to add?
And we've talked about it a couple of times here in this episode and previous episodes, and that's our altcoin evaluation worksheet. You can grab a free copy of that by heading over to the show notes. Just put your email address in, hit the button, and we'll send it away to you straight away.
Okay, so we'll finish it up there for today. Don't forget, head over to schoolofcrypto.com and feel free to leave your feedback and comments. In the meantime, we would love if you could subscribe and share, because that really helps the show get a wider reach and helps more people find the podcast and get involved with Bitcoin and digital currency. Now, if you're interested in more up-to-date news and live events as they happen, and coin talk, as we call it, inside our private group, come along Facebook, do a search for School of Crypto, request access, and we'll get you in there straight away. I look forward to talking with all you wonderful listeners tomorrow. And Barry, of course, we'll be back tomorrow to go through another two coins, my friend.
Ho, ho, ho.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Crypto Podcast. You can find the links, show notes, and all the latest cryptocurrency news over at schoolofcrypto.com.